the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way, St. Paul says. Now he lists some pretty extraordinary gifts. But what shall we do when it seems, and is more than likely true, that the vast majority of these gifts have passed away from the church on this earth in this age? We do not hear of prophets, we do not hear of miracle workers. There is no need to speak supernaturally in the languages of men in order to go and preach the gospel amongst them anymore. These things have come to an end, glorious as they are. St. Paul said the same thing in last Sunday's epistle, when he talked about the glory of the law carved in tablets of stone, but that the ministry of the Spirit is far greater. What then shall we say? Especially in light of other Christians of other denominations that claim to have these gifts, that these gifts remain among them. What then shall we say? Are they somehow greater Christians than we? That these things perhaps have come back? No, Paul says, these things will end. But we are to desire the greater gifts. The things which are greater, which are given to us, which have not passed away, and which will not be taken away, are the gifts of holy baptism, absolution, and holy communion. They're the gifts of the gospel, whereby we are reconciled to God for the sake of Jesus Christ, and brought into his kingdom, made members of his body. Indeed, this is what are the greater gifts, not the things that men esteem, but the things which God esteems. My ways are not your ways, he says, nor my thoughts your thoughts. They are higher than ours. And so it is, the greater gifts of God are not the things that are going to earn worldwide fame and acclaim. They are not the things that are going to make us rich and fatten our wallets. The things of God which he does indeed esteem, which he himself, through Paul, calls the greater gifts, is the Word mingled with water. It's the Word spoken from the mouth of the pastor. It's the Word joined to bread and wine. Simple, ordinary, and common. This is why we have to be reminded by the third commandment that we should not despise these things, because they are common, because they are ordinary. But indeed, God has attached his word of promise to it, so that through these ordinary and common things, we would receive the extraordinary riches and bounty of his grace. That we who were no people, separated by blood, separated by family, would be now knitted together into the one body of his holy Christian church, bearing the holy triune name of God, heirs of him, and brothers and sisters of one another, and with Christ himself. These are the greater things. These are the things for which the whole body comes together and works together in and for. For we do not treat each other in the church as strangers in off the street. And even if a stranger were to come in off the street, we wouldn't look upon him with contempt or suspicion. We would welcome him. We would welcome him as one for whom Christ has died, one for whom Jesus was offered up. And so also then the way we bear with one another is not through strife and dissension, but is indeed according to the word of the gospel. It's by the forgiveness of sins. It's bearing one another up. You who are strong, Paul says, bear up those who are weak, that all may glorify God together. Just as your physical body has many different members and parts, each serving a different function, but all vital to your body and to your life, so also Christ has called us into His church with many and various gifts and talents and abilities. And so it is not that one is greater than another because he serves in this way, or one is less than another because he serves in that way. Rather, we have all been named with the name of God in Christ Jesus. We have all feasted upon the same body and blood of our Lord Jesus, crucified and raised again. Our same and common humanity is exalted in His incarnation, worshipped and adored by the holy angels at the throne of God, as our brother, a man of flesh and blood, sits on the throne of God. That is your exaltation. That is in what you boast. Not in your name, not in the things that you've done, whatever name you might have made for yourself. You boast in the Lord Jesus, crucified and raised again, who has set you in this place by His word and holy sacraments, that you would be His temple, that you would be His people, united in the bloody baptismal waters and in the confession that Jesus is Lord. That which is glorious in the eyes of men passes away. It is temporary. But to us has been given that which is greater and which does not fade away. Even as Moses had to veil his face from speaking with God, so we do not have to veil our faces when we enter into the Holy of Holies and God joins His flesh and blood to our own, and we depart in peace and joy, ready to go to death, for we have seen and we have tasted the Lord's salvation in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That cannot and will not be taken away. The hymns and the liturgy and the Bible verses and the catechism which you have memorized will not be taken from you in the day of persecution and torment. And indeed, your confession and your song will be perfected when you are received into the eternal dwellings which Jesus Himself has prepared for you. Desire the things that He gives. Desire His means of grace, whereby your sins are forgiven. And you are given the pledge, the promise, the sign, seal, and guarantee of your own bodily resurrection on the last day, when your body shall be transformed like unto that of Jesus Himself. In Jesus' name, Amen.